The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I was speaking with someone the other day that had mentioned jokingly that they would avoid the doctor because by doing so, they would avoid bad news about their health. Ever talk to somebody like that? Maybe that's you, right? If I just don't go to the doctor, I won't get any bad news. Now, that would be the wrong way to look at going to the doctor and having regular checkups. We want a realistic and true diagnosis. It's most frustrating when we know something's wrong, right? Have we been there with ourselves or maybe a loved one? We know something's wrong. We go to the doctor and they can't figure out what's wrong. We don't have a full understanding of what this is. And because we don't have a full understanding of what this is, we can't adequately address it. What we really want from the doctor is a true diagnosis. And that leads to good news. Well, how does that lead to good news? I've had people tell me this. They had a checkup with the doctor. They found something. But what follows that is they found something, but the good news, they caught it early. We know what it is, and we know how to treat it. So the diagnosis that we get about ourselves in Ephesians, that's not to sound harsh. It's realistic. You were dead through the trespasses and sins. That's not to sound harsh. I know in our society, people might hear that and believe that the church has such a negative view of humanity. It's simply not the case. Again, this is a realistic diagnosis when we understand that when we turn away from God, who is the source of life, we're dead. We're dead through our trespasses and sins. Let me put it another way. If you do not plug in your cell phone or your laptop, what's going to happen after a while?
It'll go dead.
It will go dead. It will eventually die. That's not being harsh towards electronics. It's not also trying to put the burden on the users. It's simply stating a reality. If we don't plug into the source that gives those things life, they will die. Sin equals death is realistic. But there's good news. Good news when we read Ephesians. That we have a God who is rich in mercy. Out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. We're called to turn back to the source of life. I mean, isn't that what we just sang in our confession throughout what we've been singing, right? Take us back. Take us back to you, the source that has made us this new creation. Welcome us back to this source, O Lord. Your mercy covers us, and you are rich with mercy. For we are created in the image and likeness of God, and we're called to reflect our God in our worship and in our activity in this world. once dead, but now alive in Christ. And that's a different way for me in thinking of how we're born again. As Lutherans, being born again, that begins at our baptism, when God makes us part of that new creation. And as members of that new creation, we're called to live differently. It's a new way of being human that's oriented and plugged into the God who is the source of life. Ephesians is acknowledging reality in all fronts here. Not only the reality of our sin, but also the reality of other forces at work in this world. Other things that are worshipped, and how people can easily get drawn into those things and worship those things. Creating a mob mentality that we could point to existing in our society today, in which people confuse their allegiances. They turn away from the source of life. They get caught up in all this. The crucified and risen Christ gives us all the victory over the powers of this world. Continue to be plugged into that. The death and resurrection of Christ also has transformed the whole world. The whole world is transformed by this. But it is through the gift of faith, being born anew, being born again through the source of life, that we can see that reality that we have in Christ. We can see what has been, what is, and is to come in Jesus Christ. By grace you have been saved, we hear in Ephesians, and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ. We have been raised up with Christ to live in those heavenly places. Now that should call to mind the kind of God that saved us. We have not been raised to walk around and saying, look at how better I am than those who don't know this new reality, right? That's not how we're called to live. No, we're called to live in a new way, and it's living in Jesus Christ who suffered and died for us. It's living as that one, a suffering servant for all. Again, not a theology of glory, but a theology of the cross. This new way of living calls us to be rich in mercy, as Christ is rich in mercy towards us. There's also an all-inclusive sense of love that is to be shared with all people. That's what it means to be born anew through Jesus Christ. N.T. Wright points out how Christians throughout history have redefined power in Christ versus the power in this world. Throughout Christian history, Christians reminded the world that the poor mattered. And when it came to matters of things like medicine and education, the feeling among Christians was that everybody should have access to these things. Not just the elite, not just the privileged, but everyone. N.T. Wright points out that those concepts are actually Christian innovations. Everyone should have access to this stuff. Everyone should be cared for and loved in this world. Now, let's go back to what I said earlier. Is that a negative view of humanity that the church has? No. No, it's actually bringing us back to how God intends us to live from the beginning. Right? That we're all called to reflect the image and likeness and the goodness of this God. We're not to write off any segment of the population. God desires for all people to have life, to have it abundantly, to flourish in this world. And that's an understanding of power redefined by the cross of Christ. The born-again movement, as I recall when I was growing up, was very much steeped not only in decision theology, but individualism. It misses the new life and the world we're called to live into. It does not see a God as rich in mercy, and it twists salvation to be on our terms and not by the grace of God. As we hear in Ephesians, even when we were dead through our past, through our trespasses, made us alive. He made us alive together with Christ. We were dead. We can't save ourselves when we're dead, but made alive together with Christ. Dead, nothing we can do, made alive together. And that's together. Hear that word, together. Not an individualistic understanding of faith, but a communal one. The actions of a God who loves the whole world. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. We go from being dead people walking away from the source of life to being part of this new creation, this new life, alive in Christ, joined to the source of life. We're created for good works. And as we heard in Ephesians today, those good works did not save us, but it's a new way of living because our worship and ministry reflect God's desire for us and for the whole world. We want everyone to experience this new reality. That's our view of the world and humanity. That's why vocations like social work exist. We are saved by grace and are called to be part of the healing of the world and the restoration of humanity as members of this new family known as the body of Christ. We are not motivated by a negative view of humanity, but a positive view of God, who is rich in mercy. A God who calls us and the world to be what God has always intended for us. And we want this new reality, this new way of being human, to be the way for all people. In our words and in our good works, we give witness to our God in Jesus Christ, who is rich in mercy and who has saved us by grace. In Christ, we're no longer dead, but alive. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen.